In so many settings in life, purity is highly prized. Where there be a flawless diamond at the center of a item, piece of jewelry, whether it be the constant, beautiful reverberation of an operatic voice, or whether it be the sterilized tools of and the instruments used by a surgeon in an operation. Purity is usually really important for those beautiful things. So you might think that producing the very best harvest, the best crop at the end of that harvest season, would similarly require the same sort of purity. Nobody wants weeds that would contaminate, that would distract or detract from the potential growth of the crop and reduce the yield at the outcome. And yet, what we see in this passage that we've just read from Matthew 13 is that there are times in the kingdom of God where weeds and the crop, the wheat that is growing alongside, can grow together. I'm going to have a look at what Jesus was saying about that and how that relates to what we've been thinking about with people working out in Bangladesh in that video I've just shown you. This harvest talk is very much inspired by Jesus' parable of the weeds and wheat and observations and testimonies of people working on the ground in Bangladesh. You could paraphrase a very well-known verse in scripture like this: seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, two things together, and he will give you everything that you need. We're speaking of the harvest. If you're watching and paying attention in that video, you must have noticed as they were walking through those tea plantations that Bangladesh is a beautiful country. It's quite lush in so many respects. The people are colourful and God loves this country. Why wouldn't he? They produce tea, for goodness sake. But it's also a country that is very diverse and the communities operating are incredibly diverse. There are something like 52 ethnic groups within Bangladesh. And although I've spoken to you about the incredibly densely populated cities, there are, at the opposite side of things, also lots of small villages, thousands upon thousands of small villages with relatively few people within them. Now, one of the things that Bangladesh sees, as with many nations which are relatively poor, is that people who are in extreme poverty often want to leave rural communities to go and live in cities because there might be opportunities. And in some respects, that's a picture of what is happening in the hearts of many people in this world. They're seeking something. They're looking for something that is spiritually more fulfilling, better than they currently have in what they might see as an outpost, a sort of wasteland. Thankfully, in Bangladesh, people are free to seek spiritual guidance from wherever they like. There is a relative religious freedom within the country. And BMS have found exactly that. They've found that this is where their presence in the country can have a huge impact alongside people who don't know Jesus. If you want to talk in kingdom terms, you might talk about the harvest, the crop that is growing, the pure thing you would love to see. But also the unbelievers who are around, the impurity in terms of God's understanding around them, working and living together. Because there is freedom, there is opportunity to share. Do you realize that in order to demonstrate something of the truth of Jesus, there is a necessity to speak it out? Paul was really clear. Romans chapter 10, verse 14, he says, "How then can they call on one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in one whom they have not heard of? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them?" That's where BMS supported workers in Bangladesh have an opportunity to do something amazing in the communities in which they live alongside unbelievers. Word of mouth. Now, Christianity is a minority. I said it was just 0.3% of the population. Around 8%, 80, just 8, sorry, are Hindu, and the rest, around 92%, are Islamic. They are Muslims, and as a consequence, the government protects the Christian community, and that's fantastic. It's wonderful that officially they are able to speak out the love of Jesus. What a privilege. But that's officially. Locally, it's often very different because very often in villages, there are people who oppose it. The Muslim element, the leadership is often from an Islamic background. And they don't feel quite so open. So it might well be that that dominant Islamic leadership are particularly active and stop them from speaking. So sometimes in Bangladesh, there's the message of Jesus is shared quite openly, and sometimes it's actually quite hidden, where there's great opposition, which can lead to persecution. But word of mouth is one way in which this can take place, but it's not the only way. Simply the presence of God's people acting righteously provides another opportunity. Remember, we are called to be a holy nation. The priesthood of God. God's people in this world are referred to as a holy priesthood. Our objective is to point to Jesus. We've been purified by God, refined, and our objective is to reflect that holiness to others. So, one of the big issues that impacts Bangladesh, where that can be seen, is in the corruption and the injustices which are rife in this, along with many, many other developing nations in the world. And what Christians working in these countries, in these villages, have found is that they have an opportunity to do things differently. Now, life is tough for Christians as well, but across Bangladesh, it seems that many Christians have a reputation for being just and honest. So we've got word of mouth and we've got living alongside them and therefore demonstrating the righteousness of God in action. One of the BMS workers made this comment. He said, "In our country, the opportunities and the challenges, the good and the bad, the different cultures, languages, and religions are all mixed together." And I see that as a picture of what this parable spoken by Jesus represents, where the wheat and the weeds are growing side by side. In the parable that was read to us by Bruce, we read about the crops growing together. Isn't that a picture of what we see in the villages that Bina and James would be so familiar with? Let me give you a hypothetical example of what they might face. There could be a village which has got 20 families within it. They spoke of a family, of a village where just two families were Christian. Well, maybe there were half a dozen. but there will be many who are not Christians. There will be many families who are perhaps supported even by a pastor, a Christian pastor in the village. Wow, what a privilege! But almost certainly there will also be a leadership, a committee that govern things within the village who will not be so sympathetic and not supportive. You have these mixes all together, like wheat and weeds. And inspired by this parable, the people who are supported by BMS are trying to therefore look at the parable and find what might Jesus be saying about how we live our lives and how we can be fruitful in this nation by growing together and blessing the people that are around us. It's really important. I don't want us to confuse something here. Scripture is really clear that God's people are to be a holy nation. Our job is to be in this world, but not of this world. We are to live lives which are holy. Be holy, said God, because I am holy. We are not invited to live lives irresponsibly or impurely. But that's not the same thing as isolating ourselves from the world around us, because we still have impacts. On the contrary, isn't it essential from that verse in Romans 10 that if the kingdom of God is going to spread, Christians need to have people around them that they can witness to and share with? It's the lifestyle, it's the attitudes, it's the choices that we make where we choose to be holy, where we live lives which are different. That's been recognized by workers in this situation. I want to give you four really simple, quick observations about how this passage speaks and is put into practice by people working out in Bangladesh. And the first is that by working and living alongside people who don't know God, who don't know Jesus, we can give time for God to do what God does. Time can be a huge blessing. Verse 26 read, "When the wheat sprouted and formed ears, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, 'Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your fields? Where then did the weeds come from?' And the servants asked him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?'" And what was Jesus' response? I suggest this response of Jesus was an example for those working in these communities amongst people from a very different cultural background. When they said, "Should we pull out the weeds?" Jesus' response is no. Instead, his instruction is, let them grow together. Give them time. And the experience amongst people working in these Bangladeshi villages is that that's exactly what they need to do, to leave time to allow God to do what he's going to do in those places. They shouldn't isolate themselves. They shouldn't try to either uproot the communities or themselves from the communities, but give time for change to happen. Because what they see is this is not the harvest. The harvest is still to come. And that's something which God is about. We're the workers preparing for the harvest. And these villages, BMS workers, therefore, are being encouraged to allow believers to stay in those communities, not to blame others, to accuse others, just to continue to love, to invite them, to eat together with them, to share with them, to meet with them, to celebrate with them. And in that way, they offer love, they offer respect. And they give time. They've learned that they may themselves get tired and frustration because things don't seem to be changing. But time It's what God uses to bring about change. Second thing I would say is that many good things are often hidden right in front of us. You don't know what is going on. Verse 29, where the response comes, is this. No, he answered, because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And when they reflected on this passage and were invited to respond, those working on the ground in Bangladesh were reminded that there were many, many situations where there were Christians, there were believers hidden in the community, maybe quiet, maybe shy because they didn't know that how freely they could speak and they were being cautious. Just like the field that seems to be so full of weeds, and your first response is just rip it out, take it away, get rid of it. My goodness, how many Christians want that to apply, not just in the harvest, but to themselves in life? We want God to take us away. And then we moan because we say, God, you've not answered my prayer. You've not done what I've asked you to do. I wonder whether so often God might actually be at work and doing something that's hidden from us, not immediately obvious. And Jesus here says, don't take it away. Let them grow together. There are things that we often don't see. And maybe you're going to pull out that weed, and wrapped around it is a young wheat plant that is trying to get established. I wonder how many around are seeking, even in our communities, of the people that we judge not to know God, maybe because they don't do the things we might do. Go and be involved in the church community, for example. I wonder how many are seeking. I wonder how many perhaps are being nurtured in the early stages by God. Things happening. The lesson here is it's really important for us not to just cut ourselves off from those that might not seem to be part of the future harvest. A little bit like Jonah, who was sent by God and didn't know the bigger picture of God. So he ran away, thinking it was irrelevant. He was going to do his own thing. That's the experience of Christians in Bangladesh. And if you go back a few chapters to Matthew 9 and that verse that I read to us at the start of our service, I was reminded that it is God who is the Lord of the harvest. It's the Lord who sets the time and the seasons of harvest. And it is God who is the one who harvests the souls of unbelievers. It's his domain, not ours. So we've got two things so far. Give time for God to do what he's doing. Recognize there may be things, hidden things going on around us. But the third is this, that therefore the motivation of our actions should be love, acceptance in the sense of what's happening in a field, tolerance of the weeds being present. Verse 30, let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters to sort out the harvest and so on. You can read the verses for yourself. Christians working in these villages in Bangladesh are encouraged to act lovingly and not hastily. Did you notice that the workers in the parable wanted to act quickly because they were angry? Where did the seeds come from? The blame is part of the picture. What's caused this? This is unacceptable. Blame, accusation. They quickly want to judge and then rip out those weeds. And because of our fixed ideas, even because of our knowledge of what God would want of us, we can respond in the same way to people around us. We quickly compartmentalize. We put people in pigeonholes, don't we? People who do this thing or that, between the good, the bad, the heavenly, the hell of the situation that people are living in. It's very easy to slip into that. And as a response, we stop demonstrating the love of God. But the illustration here is let the weeds and the wheat grow together. There's sent this element of demonstrating this righteousness, a message of love towards people around us, and tolerant, being tolerant. Jesus' method is not only therefore just giving time, it's not only recognizing that God might be doing something, it's also recognizing that we are a tool to demonstrate a different attitude and show instead of hatred or judgment towards something that we might see initially as simply black and white, ungodly, instead to reach out as Jesus did in a response of love. So the call for us surely is to go into the world and to make people followers of Jesus, not to be people who point the finger. Our job is to point to Jesus, not to point with accusation. It is a message of love. It's a message of grace rather than a message of judgment, which is all about the old covenant law that points out sin. It's not our place to judge other people. It is our place to point to the Jesus who did things differently. And then the fourth and final thing, it's not necessarily a point about how we then live within community with people who don't know Jesus, but rather going back to the very beginning of the passage, a warning of how we get ourselves into difficult situations in the first place. Verse 25, but while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the church is sleeping, when Christians are sleeping, when Christian families are sleeping spiritually, the danger is that the enemy comes and roots weeds that are not healthy, that are seriously damaging. The call, the reminder here is to be awake. I was reminded instantly of that verse we read a couple of weeks ago when we were reading through the beginning of Deuteronomy. Moses about to take the people of Israel into the promised land and saying, these are things we need to get right if we're going to do and be a blessing as God intends us to do. And what was one of those things in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, verse 7, speaking about sharing God's ways, God's values. Impress them on your children. Talk to them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads, write them on the door frames of your houses and your gates. Make the ways of God a reality so that the bad influences of this world do not impact even the Christian communities and the Christian families that we have. When we're asleep, that's when the enemy does his work. I believe there is a call for us to wake up, to resist the enemy, recognize the influences of how he comes into our homes. And my goodness, has the church been impacted because it's been half asleep? And the roots of godless things are becoming established. But around the world, God is calling his people to recognize this in the first instance. If you lived in Bangladesh, as in many other countries, there's a very audible, a very loud reminder of this principle. In an Islamic country, five times a day you hear the call to prayer. At the top of those minarets, the towers, you hear the speaker crying out to the people to come. But speak to Muslims and they'll say there's another thing that goes on here. That sound of the loud call to prayer also, they would say, drives away the enemy. And I wonder if that should be a reminder to us of how important it is that we are awake to what God wants to do and how the enemy would like to get in the way of that. Give time for those relationships with people who don't know Jesus to do something. Be aware that there might be hidden things that God is already doing. Demonstrate an attitude of love towards those who don't yet know Jesus. And in the first instance, let us be awake. Let me read a verse to you, if I can just quickly. Sprung to mind just before the service, Matthew 24, Jesus speaking to his people, therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day the Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house has known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. May our eyes be open and think about those contacts with unbelievers in a very different way, inspired by people in Bangladesh and this beautiful parable that Jesus shared with his followers.